Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashan Messianic Bible Club. And we have Jamaica here, Pastor. Hey, no, you can't do that. My wife said you can't tell a woman to be on camera unless she's ready. come up and pray for me. I mean, if she wants to, she can too, but I'm asking. Yeah. So that'll be good. Pastor Brandon and his queen, Jamaica. And so let's pray in, and then we're going to get started.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you that your Holy Spirit speak through Pastor Sandy, Lord God. We thank you that you anoint his mouth, Lord God, that whatever you would have him to say, Lord, will be ministered to the hearts of the people. I thank you that that word will be a rhema word, Lord God, that you place in his spirit, Lord God, to give specific instruction to your people, Lord God. We thank you that he is an instrument that is used for your glory and your honor. And I thank you, Lord God, that every word that goes forth, Lord God, will be pleasing in your ears and in your sight, because he is being obedient and a good steward of the things that you have taught him. And we thank you for allowing him to equip each and every one of us and preparing us for your return. So we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Y'all married. They both got it. That's why I was like, my wife could pray. I was like, when did you start this? Hanging out with Pastor Ben. Okay, so we're going to get started today.
Can you tell them about what you were telling Ryan?
Not yet. I can't do that because I got to tell Judy Baker. I got her card, and then I got to tell her how much I love it, because she put everybody on there: Drea, Pastor Ben, Pastor Nicole, Ryan, Zoe, and Sensational.
Yeah.
And the family of Christ. And then, so she sent me this card. And you guys know, maybe this one goes up there too. Okay. And then James Nusky, I think that's how you say his last name. He said, thank you for the wristbands.
Okay.
I love my wife and I love Jesus, or, you know, the wristbands. And then Kathleen Hazelton sent me a letter yesterday. Me and her talked, and me and Pastor Ben are continuing to pray for what she asked me to pray for. So we won't put other people's business in the air, but she asked me to pray for something, and me and Pastor Ben will be praying on that. Okay, now, we're gonna get started. As Pastor Ben is getting all the people who are signing in, last night I was trying to explain something very simple, and I told the Lord, because he had me up all night like, okay, you gotta explain this and let people know that the Old Testament and the New Testament go together. I designed them to go together, right? So all I showed you last night was that Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 is the numerical value. It's a reverse number, 73 times 37. John chapter 1, which is a declaration of the same thing, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, because the spoken Word created the heavens and the earth, right? So, and this is its numerical value for that verse, and it has the same thing, a reverse 93 times 39. I can give you this is for love, 13, 13, and 13. This is for chuppah, 93, which is the wedding canopy, okay? So the whole thing about the New Testament is gonna be about love and this wedding that's supposed to happen, right? And the whole Old Testament is, this is wisdom, and this is also wisdom in different Hebrew numerical forms. But, so this is the wisdom of God in Genesis 1, it says, this is the beginning of the love story and the chuppah, the marriage, okay? So now you have, this is John 1:1, it has this number. Now see, in math, and I've only really tried to start understanding math a short time ago, when I started really studying Hebrew, it made me want to learn math. I learned about triangles. I learned that the Star of David is a numerical value. You know, I learned that God created geometry, and the circumference of the earth is the same as the numerical values of the current pyramid that sits in Egypt. Do you know they discovered that? Like, if you do all the measurements, it's the same as the circumference of the whole earth. And I was like, and then God says in Isaiah, I'm gonna put a monument in Egypt at the border in the middle of Egypt as a prophecy to myself. So now I know why is the circumference of the earth, because only way the person who would know it would be the guy who created the earth. So then he says, well, if I'm gonna make a pyramid, I'm gonna make the circumference of the earth. And see, these are little things like, not little things, but things like this, it's like, it makes me go, okay, this is deeper than religion. This is deeper than, oh, I found God and he's making me better. This is you getting involved with the creator of the world and saying, I want to be on your team, okay? So this is bigger than that. So only thing I was showing you last night was that Genesis chapter 1 is a triangle numerical value. But John chapter 1:1 is not a triangle numerical value. But if you add John 1:1 to Genesis 1:1, then you get this big number, 6328, and it becomes a triangle number. So it's only a
keep going, Pastor, you're good.
Oh, I got the wrong one. It's only a triangle number once you add the Old Testament to the New Testament. So God is, they're married. The only way you can get a triangle from the New Testament, Genesis, John 1:1, is to add it to Genesis 1:1. Okay? So, yeah. And then once you do that,
you have the wrong one.
I have the wrong one? Okay. So, get rid of that. So, that's basically what I was trying to show you. We were talking here before you guys came in about God and creating a book. Like last night, we talked about God told the whole world that he was going to return Israel to its land in 1948. Now, the problem is this. There was no such thing as 1948. 1948 from what? You know what I mean? Because he knew when Christ would be born. That's 1948 from when Christ is going to be born, right? That's why we call it 1948. BC 1, 1948, okay? So God already knew 1948 before the Bible, but he also knew Israel's calendar as well. So he placed stuff in Israel's calendar, 5708, at being 19. So all this stuff God is doing to show us as his people, you're not dealing with a religion, okay? Because this is what people do. They find religion and they think they found God. God once impressed upon me, I am not asking you to have blind faith. I was like, because I thought faith was about just being blind and going forward. God says, I'm not asking people to do that. I'm asking you to study to show thyself approved so you can prove that what I'm saying to you is real. Okay? If I said something was going to happen, can you prove from the scripture that it happened? Because I said it would. Okay? And he says, I'm watching over my word, what? To see that it accomplishes the things that I wrote. So 1948 didn't just come. God said, it's going to come because I said it was going to come, and I'm going to watch over my word and make sure Hitler dies at the proper time. So it's exactly 3 years before 1948, because Christ died and it was 3 days before he resurrected, and it'll be 3 years before Israel resurrects back in the land. So everything with God is like, it's my story. I got this together. You could spend all day blowing yourself away, which was what Norma, She was studying, and then she started doing some of the numbers and stuff. I just want to warn her, you can do it all day, and you'll sit there in front of your computer going, oh, ah. And it's just because you're fascinated that God did it. Now watch this. I'm going to show you this scripture. What's this scripture? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's Pele, which means in Hebrew, beyond your understanding, okay? His name shall be called Pele, the Counselor or Eleazar, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So the child is going to be Pele, beyond your understanding. He's going to be Counselor. He's going to be Eleazar. He's also going to be the Mighty God, and he's going to be the Everlasting Father. All of these are titles given to the child that's going to be born. So Jaqua, who is valedictorian of Rishon Messianic Bible College, says, well, I did a gematria, I did a letter skip sequencing, and I realized 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Every seventh letter in this verse has a numeric value of 888, which is the name of Jesus, right? But it doesn't mention Jesus. But every seventh letter is 888, which is the numerical value of Jesus in the New Testament. All of this is to do what? To let you know that someone wrote the book and his intelligence is so deep. So you can come along and say, the white man wrote the Bible. That's what they used to tell me when I was, white man wrote the Bible. I was like, well, you know, the guy was from Ethiopia at the time of Christ. He's reading Isaiah.
Right.
There was no white people around, right? So where'd he get it, you know? So God wrote the Bible. We could talk all day about what his imprint on it, and he's trying to show us his story. This is why I was saying last night, what has been written is about to happen, and it doesn't need you to believe it. It does not need you to say, oh, I believe, like the guys in prison used to say, well, you know, you had us read this thing about your friend who died and went to heaven. I don't believe in hell. You know, no, your friend died and went to hell, but I don't believe in hell. You think I'm going to sit there trying to prove to them? I said, that's okay, have a seat. I don't believe in China. They go, what do you mean? Do everybody know? I said, I've never been there. You've never been to hell. I've never been to China. I don't believe in it. You don't believe in it. And there's a sister of us arguing with each other. We just don't believe in it. But it doesn't mean it's not there, right? So God doesn't need us to believe that what he wrote, we should believe it by watching what's going on around us. Okay? If you're doing what the Bible says, to watch and pray, okay? If you're not watching your life, what's going on? Because he was mad about the Pharisees about what? Prophecy is happening right in front of you and you don't even know. How is it that you can look at the sky and go, look at the clouds, I know it's going to rain soon. And yet here prophecy is around you. I was born, I'm healing people, I'm doing all of these things. I came into Jerusalem on a donkey just the way Zechariah 9:9 said I would. All of this has happened in front of you, and you're saying you don't believe. Why? Because you're not watching, okay? And so our job is to watch. Anybody tell you you're not supposed to be watching is saying Jesus lied to you. He said watch and pray. No, Jesus wasn't lying. He's telling you to do what's necessary so you are aware. Another young lady died this morning. Not this morning, but someone sent it to me. She died of a brain clot. She took the vax, right? And she died of a brain clot. And I was like, okay, did she take the vax? Yes, she took the vax. Okay. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out if God's people aren't watching, you're not going to know what's going on. You're just going to think, you know, whatever CNN tells you or whatever that, right? Okay. Yes.
Your New Testament number is different. It should be 36:27, not 23:67. The John 1:1. The 93 times 39.
Yeah, is it different from what's on the paper?
Yeah, it should be 36.27.
Thank you.
And your math would be, yes.
This is?
That should be 36.27.
Thank you.
Yeah, but the mathematician teaches them.
Yeah, and then the check, yeah.
36? 27, okay.
Same thing up here with John.
Thank you very much. Because I was writing so fast last night, I was trying to get it all on the board. 36.27. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, I sent the thing out, so they should have looked at the paper and went, oh, this is not the same as the paper, right?
They've been talking.
But that's okay. Well, there you go. Pastor Sandy's not perfect. I told you. Okay. Let's get started in today's Bible study, because what I want to show you is a part of our Hebrew Bible class. Now, God gave me 17 lessons. He said, these are the 17 lessons that people need to know. Okay. The first of those 17 lessons was called Abraham the Movie, right?
What about the shout outs, Pastor Sandy?
What shout outs? Who's with us? I don't need to know those people. No, just let. How many shout outs you have? We're on thin time, Pastor Ben. Give me a few. Tell them I have to do a funeral right after. We're going to do a few shout outs and then we're going to move on.
Namibia. And
Namibia. Right. You finally Namibia, did it, Pastor Ben.
South Bronx, Tennessee. Barbados, Oklahoma. Atlantic Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Bedford, Texas. Waldorf, Maryland. Ohio. Hong Kong. Zoe and Sensational from Pasadena.
Love them.
Overland Park, Kansas. Argentina. Woodbridge, Virginia.
Okay. Argentina?
Oxford, British Columbia, Canada.
Hallelujah.
Henderson, Nevada. Orlando, Florida. Concord, North Carolina, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, wow.
El Paso, Texas, Destin, Florida, Princeton, Texas, Rockford, Ohio.
Yeah.
Destin, Florida, from the Ukraine in Germany, New Brunswick, Canada, Mishawaka, Indiana.
Wow.
From Norway.
Wow.
Sacramento, Greenbeck, Tennessee, Heath, Ohio.
Bethlehem. Are we keeping our board updated, Pastor Ben? Because Argentina and Norway, I think those are new.
New Mexico.
Okay.
Richmond, Virginia. Spain.
Hallelujah.
Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Praise God.
And we have more, but we didn't have
time. Yeah, we don't have time because today I'm going to have to be out of here in a little bit. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about, let me say one more thing. Okay. In the book of Isaiah 53, okay, which is in Israel, it's called Parak Asur. You know what a Parak Asur means? The forbidden book, the forbidden chapter. Okay. That means that the rabbis say you can read every book in the Bible, but you can't read Isaiah 53. Right. So it's called the Parak Asur, which means it's forbidden for you to read that. It's only for us rabbis. Okay? Now, in Isaiah 53, and I can't go through that study now, it never mentions Jesus, but every, I think, seventh or eighth letter in the equal letter distancing says Yeshua Smai, which is Jesus is my name. Jesus is my name. So as you're counting every eighth letter, you go, oh, there's the Yod, there's the Shin, and it says Jesus is my name. You can go through it and you can read Jesus is my name through Isaiah 53. If you go backwards, it says Yeshua Shai, which is Jesus the gift. Jesus the gift. Jesus the gift. Now, this is in the book of Isaiah, right? But if you don't know about equal distance lettering and you don't know what God did with the Bible, you think he just wrote a book or man could have wrote it, unless he's have to be like really genius to be able to do all of this, right? So What we're looking at is a book that God wrote. He's put his thumbprint on it so that everyone knows. We know we're not dealing with religion. What says in this book is going to happen. Okay? So in the first study that we have called Abraham the Movie, it says the story begins with this understanding. This is the first understanding of understanding the book of Abraham's story. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your exceeding reward." That's Genesis 15, 1 and 2. And he said, but Abraham said, "The Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Now, see, that's one of those things when it hits you and you go, now watch this. Eleazar means the helper of God, right? So God is setting it up where there are three people in the house, the father, the son, and the top guy in the house, the Holy Spirit, the helper. Because what does John say? John says, but when the helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Who? The helper. Okay? So Eleazar is the helper. So you got three people in the house, the Father, the Son, and Eleazar, the helper. Now, that's the first thing you need to know when you're dealing with the book, is that God is already talking about himself, his son that's going to be born, and the Holy Spirit that's going to help from the very beginning. And so we don't have to get to the New Testament to preach the gospel if you understand the typologies of the Old Testament and what God is doing. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 through 11, it says, then they said to him, where is Sarah, these angels? They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said to them, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening from the tent, right? So these angels come and they tell Abraham, your wife is barren. He's like, I know, man, almost 100, and we know. You ain't telling me nothing new. He says, she's going to have a baby next year, right? But who has to get involved for Sarah to have a baby? God. Okay? Who has to get involved for Mary to have a baby? God. There are seven women in the Bible that needs God's assistance to be able to have a baby. There are seven of them. And that tells a whole nother story, which is incredible, right? But now God is getting involved because God is going to have Sarah birth this child into the world, okay? And so once he's born into the world, let me make sure I stay. It says here we have a miracle birth. Here we have a miracle birth of God. Genesis 21, verse 2 through 5. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age and set the time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Okay? And Abraham circumcised the son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old, right, when he has this child. Now, Isaac gets circumcised on the 8th day, okay? I can't get into all that. I'm just stick with this so we understand this, okay? Because I want you to see, my main thing is I want you to see that the story of Jesus is already being told in the life of Abraham. And so Jesus is not an afterthought A matter of fact, we could go to Genesis and find out the gospel in Genesis. Because after God created the heavens and the earth, right? Then it said he rested. Then on the eighth day, it said he brought a man into the garden and breathed into him and created him from the ground, right? And breathed into him. Once he breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. In Genesis chapter 6, when it says God created man in his own image, he never talks about him breathing into anyone. So there's this man that is being born on the eighth day, coming up out of the ground, who has the breath of God in him. And at that point, there's only one man on the whole earth that has the Spirit of God living in him. And who was that? Adam. Not the Adams created in the sixth day, but the Adam created that God placed in the garden. God said he breathed into him. So when Jesus came, how many people had the Holy Spirit living in them? None. The Holy Spirit hadn't been. So like Adam, he's the only person on earth with the Spirit of God in him. But he has to die. And he has to be slit in his side. And what comes out of his side has to produce a bride. So Christ had to die on the cross. He had to be slit in his side. And blood and water came out, because by the baptism and by the blood covenant, you are born again, right? So what comes out, you accept that, you become what? The bride of Christ. So his bride comes from his side. First Adam, his bride comes from his side. So God is always talking about the gospel from Genesis all the way. Abraham is just another story about Jesus. Who said the volume of the book is about me? Jesus. He says everything you're reading is about me. And the more you read it, the more you're going to understand. My thing in the Hebrew class was to tell everyone, I don't care what book you read, find Jesus. Because he's in there. He's told you he's in there. You've got to find Jesus' story in whatever book you read. And I've found that you're able to do it. Okay? Now, here we go. Let's see. Taking out his son, only son. Here it goes. He says, in Genesis 22, verse 2 through 14. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled the donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go up yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and put it on Isaac's back. You see that? Why is Isaac carrying the wood? He's the one, he's about to be sacrificed. Why is Isaac carrying the wood? What is he doing? I'm telling you the story 4,000 years before it happens, so that you will see that I already knew this was going to happen before it happens. So for them to make Jesus carry the cross was not just them being mean, that was them doing what God said that would happen. You understand? So somebody's in control of this book. This is what I'm trying to say. Someone is in control of this book because he's writing the story before the story happens. Now they get there on the third day. Let me get to this. They get there on the third day. It says, but Isaac spoke to his father and said, Father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, in the Hebrew, this is crazy. Now it says, my son, Abraham says, my son, God will what? Provide a lamb. I haven't talked to a Jewish person yet that says the word provide is there. God never uses the word provide. I'm going to provide a lamb. God will provide the lamb. He says, Elohim Yiro'alo, which means God will appear himself as the burnt offering. God's going to appear himself as the burnt offering. Who told Abraham that? Abraham, come here. See all these stars? What is he showing him in the constellations? My story. I'm going to show you 48 constellations. See that lamb? That's me being born into the world. I'm going to be a sacrifice for all men. Now, Galatians says, Galatians 3:8 says, God told the gospel to Abraham beforehand. That means Abraham is here and he's telling Isaac the gospel. God is going to appear himself as the lamb. So that means God is already telling his story 4,000 years before it happens. Through who? Abraham, Isaac, Eleazar. Okay? Now, I'm turning over here. Now, listen to this. Now, once he gets to the land, it says, Abraham arranged the wood. Then he lays Isaac on the wood. How old is Isaac? How old you guys think Isaac is? Huh? You think he's like 12?
No.
He's 30 years old. That means, did his daddy make him lay on the wood?
No.
So that means Isaac's doing this what?
Willingly.
Jesus is doing this what? They're not putting Jesus on the cross. That's your perception. Jesus came to the cross.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
So he's allowing them to put him on the cross. Or else I'll just call 10,000 legions of angels and just destroy you all. Nah, never mind. Just put me. Oh, put me on the cross. I'm so sorry. Oh, not my hand. Not my other hand. He came for that purpose. So now Isaac gets. On the third day, they get there, he gets his son back. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, and guess what? God got his son back, right? Now, the next thing he does, when they get back home, it says Abraham calls Eleazar. He says, come here, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go to a foreign land and find my son a bride and bring her back here. Eleazar says, the helper, the Holy Spirit says, what if she's not willing to, can I come and bring your son back there? He said, don't take my son back there. He said, you bring her here. So Eleazar goes and he goes on this search to find a bride, and God helps him find. He tells all about Isaac, all about the wealth of the father, and she believes it, and she agrees to go back and marry the son. Okay? This is the rapture. Do you understand? Watch the first Adam. Puts Adam to sleep. Cuts him in the side, puts Adam to sleep, takes what he can, and makes his bride. Then scripture after says, when he was done, God brought the bride to Adam. Is God being specific? Because he wants you to know God is going to bring the bride to the son. God is going to bring the bride to the person that was put to death and split in his side. God's going to bring the bride to him. Okay, so it's going to be the same thing in Genesis. It's going to be the same thing now. So when people say, oh, they only started talking about the rapture in the 1600s. Sometimes it's going to go, wake up. No, the rapture's being talked about in Genesis. Because he brings the bride to him. When Jesus comes back, what happens? When he rescues Israel, he comes back to rescue Israel. So that means this is not talking about Israel. This is talking about who? Some other bride. Who's this other bride? This Gentile bride. Okay? Now, I'm saying that to just say what should be obvious to every human being. God wrote a book, okay? We do the same thing with the story of Joseph, right? Look at this. Joseph is in prison. And if Joseph's in prison, how many people were on the cross, on the hill getting crucified? Three. So Joseph's in prison, but he's got two other guys with him. Okay? One's the baker, so he's in charge of the bread. What happens to the bread? If Christ is the bread, it gets what? Broken. You ain't gonna make it, buddy. The other one is the wine bearer, right? But the blood brings salvation. You're going to be all right. So he restores the wine bearer, the cup bearer to the king. But the guy who also had a dream, thinking, I'll tell my dream to him too, and maybe he'll say something. He's like, no, you're a bread maker. The bread gets broken. You're going to die. They're going to cut off your head. It's like, well, I had to be the bread. You understand? So even in the book of Joseph, he not only tells you that I'm going to give the earth my son so that I can multiply myself, he also lets you know what's going to happen in the process of him bringing salvation. It's not just going to be him on the cross. Okay, here's Moses. I've studied it. Same mountain, Calvary, same exact spot. Standing on the mountain with his hands out. He says, keep your hands up. And as long as your hands are up, you're going to win. You're going to win the battle. Moses is up here like this on the mountain, but he's by himself. God's like, that's not right. We need two more people. He can't hold his hands up. So every time he puts his hands down, he's not in the form of the cross. So he starts losing. So the victory's in what? The cross, right? So he starts losing. He says, go hold up his hand on this side, and you hold up his arm on that side. And so now Moses is up on the mountain like this with two other people. He's on Calvary. It's this exact same spot, the exact same mountain. And this is the time of Moses. And God's like, wait a minute, take a picture of that. That's what's going to happen. And so all this is going on, trying to tell you, the average human being, that when you find this, you haven't found Buddhism. Mm. You haven't found Islam. You haven't found Hare Krishna. You have found the living God, because I put a print on my word so that you know the person who wrote this is God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
We have to continue. Okay. Oh, you guys, watch this. Okay, here's the first thing. Someone said, talked to a rabbi friend of mine. I said, well, you know, Cain was evil. He killed his brother. It's like, yep. It's like, I get the Holy Spirit like saying, leave it at that. Don't get deep on him. Don't get into it, right? I was like, well, Jesus was the brother of the Jews, right? Are you saying we killed him? I was like, no, I said the Holy Spirit told me to shut up. I should have shut up. But yeah, that's what the typology and the prophecy was about. That, you know, Jesus would, now the numerical value of Abel is a gematria of 888, which is Jesus, right? So Abel is representing the blood of Jesus, and he gets killed by his own brothers. And like, and the Holy Spirit's like, don't say it, because it's going to cause an argument. And I open my big mouth, And boy, they wanted me to get out of there. So you have to know and understand the Bible's already been written, and it can be shown plainly that this was written before. Ah, so now we're here. Where's my picture at? Okay. I forget the sister that, I forget her name. She did this picture, right? See this guy? He has like a mask on. I think this is a prophetic picture.
I think so too.
The people of God being threatened by the modern society, okay, with a mask on, and something's going on. This is a profound picture that she did this like before the big thing popped off, right?
2-3 years ago.
Yeah. So here we are, and it's not. Where's it? I'm studying, and I'm studying gematria this day, and I see that he tells Satan says, oh, I'm reading Genesis chapter 3, and it says, you know, talking about the wife, and I'm thinking in Hebrew, and I'm trying to talk in English, but it says Hanahash said to Eve, says to Eve, did God say that you can eat of the fruit that's in the garden? And she said, we can eat of the fruit in the garden, but of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, we shall not eat, nor shall we touch it, or else we'll die. And Adam, and Hanahash says what? He says, you will not die. Surely you will not die. Because God knows in the day that you eat of it, you will become Ki Elohim. Numerical gematria 666. Okay? Ki Elohim. Numerical gematria 666. So as soon as Satan says this, God prints it on him. That will be his number. So now we get to this time, and we know about it in Revelation, but we don't know that God imprinted it in Genesis chapter 3. And so now this 666 becomes relevant to the point that it's on your new cure drug, right? and people are like, oh, should we as Christians know that if something is being forced to be for you to take and it has a numerical value of 666 on the patent, that we should know that we shouldn't take it, right? How many Christians are taking it? Okay, so that means somebody's not watching. Somebody heard Jesus says, watch and pray, and he said, we'll just pray. Because we don't want to watch, because that's too stressful. We'll just pray. No, watch and pray. When Israel was rebirthed back into the nations, the whole world was celebrating, especially Christians. You know why? They talked about it. They were watching. 67 war. The whole world talked about it. They were watching. When did we stop watching? Did we think God was done with prophecy then? The book of Revelation hasn't been written yet, hasn't even come true yet. So that means there's other things that we need to be watching for that's going to take place in the end times. And so now that they've manifested in front of us, and in the 120th year, we had a worldwide flood, and now we're on this ark, and we're waiting for this whole thing to be over so they can get on with their tribulation and we can get on to heaven, right? But we should have seen the whole wide world is in trouble in the 120th year. When did this happen before? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. But when the whole thing was over, Noah is said in the 601 year of Noah. So that means 2021, the whole thing was over. There's reasons why I'm saying that 2021 is there, because it's the only psalm that says, that gives you an infinitive verb that says to ascend. You've got 15 of them. Why is that one infinitive verb in Psalms 121? Okay? Why is that? And so all of these things are things that I'm trying to get people. I said, maybe we need to go back and realize we're not dealing with religion. Because if you're panicking, you're panicking because you think this was a religion that you're trying to hold on to. You're not trying to hold on to religion. You're trying to hold on to your relationship with the living God who already told you the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my God.
Yeah. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Maybe I might have to suffer persecution. Paul was like, welcome to the club. You know what I mean? One thing I know, though, what's written in this book is going to happen. There will be two in one place. One will be taken and the other left.
Right.
That will happen. God specified the word so you know who's being taken and you know who's being left. Because he says, perlambano, there will be taken to be a friend and companion. So he made here that the Greek word was specified. So you can't say, oh, the people that were taken are being taken to for destruction. You can't say that because God didn't put that word there. He made sure that the Greek word says perlambano, which means what? To be taken as a friend or a companion. Then aphemi, the other one, the one left, means divorce, sent away. So there's coming a time on the earth where some people are going to be taken to be a friend and companion to God. And if you're left, you've been divorced. Now God says, how can you get divorced if you're not married? I went, what do you mean, Lord? He says, you're not married, you can't get divorced.
Right.
That means the marriage wasn't going well. He said, that's not a Christian to unbelievers, that's not a statement to unbelievers.
Right.
That is a statement to believers. One will be taken, the other left is a statement to believers. It's not two people who don't know me. You can't get left, you were never invited. But if you were invited and you said, you know, I know I accepted Christ, but I'm gonna live with my girl, but I have my other girl across the way, and I'm gonna sell weed just to supplement my income, but I did get saved when I was 15. I'm good. God goes, no, you're not. Okay, and see, this is why when God said, the reason I want you to preach this is not to, you're not an evangelist, Sandy. The evangelist is the gospel. This is the gospel. He says, you're talking to my people to give them intelligence about who I am and to tell them they have to be ready when I come. I'm only repeating what Jesus said.
Right.
Right? Make sure that you are worthy to be taken when you come, right? This is Jesus. Somebody come behind me. Oh, if you accepted Christ, his blood paid it all. You're already worthy as soon as you say that prayer. And you're done. And then just go about to your own life and live what you want to do and do what you want to do, and you're going to be fine. Jesus said, no, you're not going to be okay. The Bible says the scariest, when I read this scripture when I was 17, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. I mean, Lord, I'm sorry, am I saved or not? Lord, am I saved or not? He says, continue in what you have been called to. Continue, okay? Because this is a relationship. Continue in your relationship with God. He didn't say, you better be perfect. No, he said, continue. That means if you sin, what does the scripture say that you should do if you should sin and you're a Christian?
Immediately.
Confess your sins to God. He is quick and he will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How do we know that's not talking to unbelievers? Because it says, my children, I would that you not sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father in heaven. My children. So he's talking to us. If you should sin, you have an advocate with the Father. The lawyer standing here pleading your case, cleansing you in case you don't do perfection after your confession. Okay?
5 minutes.
So if you don't do perfection after your confession, you need a way to stay close to God. How are you going to stay? This is a karban offering. The karban means this is it, the offering that keeps you close to God, that tears down the wall and makes you and causes you to be able to come close to God is a karban offering. Jesus is a karban offering. He allows us to come into the presence of God because of what? You've been justified as righteous. But if you start sinning and you don't repent, then you're trying to go into the presence of God and you don't have the karban offering. You understand? So now we repent so that we say, I repent of this. My wife hates when I tell a story, and she's not here, so I'm gonna tell it. We're at the movie theater, and the lady, we can't find our tickets. And the lady thinks we're trying to sneak in. Like, she's treating us like criminals. Like, I felt like this is like Daryl Gates, 77 Precinct, right? She's like, well, if you don't have tickets, then why did you get in line? And my wife is trying to be Christian at first. But I saw the face. I saw the face twitch. That's how I go. And I went. So she finally found the tickets and she gave them to the lady. The lady looked at him and goes, okay, you do have tickets. And she hands it back to him. And Drea scratched them. And I went, woo! I said, you and God gonna have to talk about that, right? That's not Christianity, but she asked forgiveness for that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let her lift that down, right? You have to confess this. This wasn't right. This is not how we operate in the new kingdom where you're going and you're being trained to go somewhere else and the citizenship is different and, you know, we don't operate off emotions, right? But all of us, right? All of us. If you get out of whack, my little children, I would that you not sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is forever standing before God pleading your case. He's cleansing you as he's just like the priesthood of the Old Testament. They're there taking offerings to keep the people cleansed. Bring your sin offerings, bring your, and they're using animals, but he's doing it, why? To make sure that they can come into the presence of God clean. Because that's the system God put together. But the system he has right now is confession.
Yeah.
So really nothing's changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's made a system that you could stay close to him and be ready for the day two are in one place, one is taken and the other one left, which is right before us. And I wish I knew today. I was gonna post this dog. This dog looked mad. He was like this. He's just like a pet bull, but he's just like, he just looks so upset. I was gonna post it today and say, we're not raptured yet, but I'm still barking. And then I went to post it and they went, you can't post for 3 days because you said something negative about the thing. And I'm like, oh God, I'm back in Facebook prison. So I'll post it 3 days from now. So anyway, that's the Bible study today. We could talk Bible all day, but what I'm just trying to convey to God's people is this is a real war. You're a part of a real God who is bringing about salvation, who is completing his book, and be ready to be the portion of it that's the bride. Be ready for that and be ready to understand and know that it's true. It's not what's going on should tell you is true, but the Bible for me, it tells me this is true. So let's stay ready and stay encouraged. Praise God.
Amen. You gonna pray out, Pastor?
I'm gonna pray out. Yeah, because I can't do Q&A. I'm sorry, you guys. I have a funeral to do at 11 o'clock. Young man who I used to train to be a boxer had got into an incident and then ended up hitting his head and dying. And so I am going to go to and do his eulogy, and there's non-believers there. Hallelujah. That's fishing. That's a free fishing trip. You want to do a funeral? Free fishing trip? Yeah. All right. Yep. And I lost my glasses. Where are my glasses, Pastor Ben? What you do with them? Mm-hmm. Oh, there they are. Okay. And Aaron and Moses were told by God, when you see my people, make sure you bless them this way. Tell them the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivrekeka Adonai v'yishmareka Ya'er Adonai panavileka v'chuneka V'yasim Adonai V'yasim Adonai Shalom. And Yasei Adonai panavileka V'yasim Shalom. So I want all of us to just stay in your word. I'm looking for a rapture any day now. I'm definitely looking for a rapture before the end of this summer. I feel like I was set up because God gave me two prophecies that happened 7 days apart, just as he said. And then now here we're the eighth day. Well, by the end of this evening, I guess the eighth day. So, and then, if not, I still expect a summer harvest. There may come a time that we all have to be like the 10 virgins. And they all just said, you know what? Let's just get some rest. And you'll hear the trumpet then. So, but it's coming. Praise God. Amen. Amen.